Do you have a dark curiosity? Follow and listen to Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
But it is 3 o'clock. We got three hosts here at Fenway. That means, Stiz, it's time for the 3-point stance.
319!
118!
118!
Yeah, there you go!
What's that?
It's the 3-point stance.
I'm going to count to three.
Tatum puts up a three. Bam!
Easy as 1, 2, 3.
Pasternak! A hat trick and a 4-3 Boston lead.
Three.
WEEI Afternoons.
Time for today's 3-point stance here on WEEI Afternoons, brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, or Tommy DeVito is now the healthiest Italian in Boston sports, you gotta get Glassman. Call all sevens at 617-777-7777. Three hosts here on WEEI Afternoons, each of which will present their stances on the biggest stories in the world of sports today. Our order, Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens, and Ted Johnson. Andy, you'll lead us off. You get 60 seconds for your opening stance. Are you ready, my friends?
Absolutely.
All right, here is 60 seconds. Go right ahead.
There's a saint in a slump, and that's a problem for your Boston Red Sox. Saint Bregman. A guy who, when healthy this year, has definitely been one of the team's best hitters. He's been a revelation in the field, revelation at the plate, in the clubhouse. But right now, he is not a revelation in the batter's box. He is struggling. 4 for his last 37. And now the guy right in front of him, that dynamic duo that I think has been so key to so much success for the offense, Roman Anthony goes on the IL, so Bregman will have different guys in front of him. He needs to get hot. He needs to figure it out. And I know Alex Cora just told us that he specifically spoke with Bregman about not trying to do too much, not trying to make up for Roman Anthony, just be himself and, you know, you're good enough for us. That is true, but it needs to be the you, Bregman, that we saw early in the year, right? It can't be the you we've seen for the last couple weeks here. So if you're going to look for a starting point for the offense to pick up the slack and make up for the loss of Roman Anthony, I would start with your third baseman, number two in your lineup, number two in your roster. Saint Bregman needs to get his ish together and start looking like a $40 million man. This is what we pay you for, to lead you and do what we need you to do, and that starts right now.
I think you need to back off. That's what I think.
Oh, whoa!
I think you need to back off my boy Bregman.
Can take the boys out of Houston, but not the Houston out the boys.
Basically, the reason for the pitching staff pitching as good as they are, the guys hitting, the young guys. I mean, he's the coach.
I don't want him to coach. I want him to hit.
I hear you.
No, hold those elbows up, and then that quick swing actually hit the ball successfully.
Isn't it funny? He got off to the best start of his career.
Yeah, now it's – yeah.
And so now he's in a slump, and it's funny how it all just kind of evens out. Eventually, you're just going to come back to where you've always been.
And shouldn't he be – I always – and this is too much because it's baseball, so everybody can go in a slump. But I just – all I hear about him or see about him, he hits a home run, and immediately he's on the pad. He's looking at it. He's moving things around. He's – showing it to somebody, they're talking about it. I thought if anybody was slump proof, it was him, because he just fixated so much on the craft of hitting and was just so invested on not,
He's doing too much.
I don't, maybe he's overthinking it. Maybe he is doing too much. I don't know. But he's got to be the guy. Right now, he's your best, other than Trevor Story, right? Like, he's your guy. Like, those are your two veterans.
Yeah,
I need you to lead. We've already lost Marcelo Meyer. We've lost Roman Anthony. You got Willy Abreu is hurt. Like, $40 million? When the going gets tough, I need Bregman to be the toughest hitter in the lineup.
That's fair. My guess is October baseball will bring out the best of them.
Well, if they don't get their ish together in September, they might not be there.
They're getting there.
Out of those two, because those two are the predominant bats that you're going to lean on, at least until Willy Abreu comes back.
Like $59 million between them?
Right, and I trust...
Feels like a lot.
I trust Alex Bregman. And Trevor Story has been a revelation this year, but I trust Alex Bregman so much more in September into October to be able to perform, just because we've seen it before.
Yeah.
But you got to start seeing it. And I think there's something to what you're saying. Simplify the game. Unfortunately, both of your young students that you've been teaching are now hurt. So nobody else to focus on except yourself down the stretch. So yeah. I'm very hopeful.
Those cutaways in the dugout of that have been so cool to see with Meyer on one side and Anthony on the other aren't as cool now that they're both hurt and he's the lone guy. Like, the right. old guy is right. the healthy guy now.
Well, right. kind of.
Well, yeah, kind of.
All three of them kind of have to hobble up to each other right
And that's
now
what I was thinking about with Abreu. You know, Cora talking about he can't run yet. He can do everything else, but he can't run yet.
Yeah.
You already got one guy in Bregman who doesn't really run well. You can see him sometimes make that decision. Yep. Am I going to try to run this out, or am I just going
to
be
safe? They've told him to throttle down.
Absolutely.
If there's a question.
So how many guys are we going to throttle down in the lineup? Like, this is why Alex Cora, people say that $7 million is a lot of money. Yep. Over the course of a baseball season,
a lot.
You
a lot
earn that money.
No
there's
doubt.
A lot going on.
No
there.
Doubt.
115 unique lineups this year.
And counting.
And counting, yeah, because a lot of the common ones had Roman Anthony within them. Okay, Alex Bregman, the gauntlet has been thrown by Andy Hartnick. Fitzy Stevens, you're up next. Are you ready?
All righty, Rudy Tootie Fruity.
All right, here is 60 seconds. Go ahead.
Well, folks, you are on what I like to call football eve, because as of tomorrow, there will be football on Thursdays and Fridays and Saturdays and Sundays and Mondays and then the following Thursdays for the next 5 months. Some of it high school, a lot of it college, most of it professional. So congratulations, folks, you made it. Now, as far as it goes regionally, I know there is a lot of angst and agita building up over whether or not star cornerback and possible best defensive player, hell, best player on the Patriots, Christian Gonzalez, is going to play Sunday. And I hate to say it, but right now I would give it the percentage of the jersey number he wears. That would be zero. So I would not be looking for Christian Gonzalez to play Sunday. All signs point to him not being out there for the debut. But there is one player we continue not to speak much of on the other side of the ball. People wonder if he's going to actually show up, if he's going to show out. And based on his debuts with the three teams he played for previously, 2015 for the Vikings, over 50 yards with six catches in his first game. 2020, eight catches, over 80 yards for the Buffalo Bills. And in his first game last year for the Texans, 6 for 33 and two touchdowns. Hey, Steph Diggs, come on down and make a hell of a debut for the Patriots, because they're going to need you Sunday.
Where's our concern level with the lack of a Christian Gonzalez on Sunday?
Well, first of all, I agree with Fitzy. I think we're going down the road. He's not playing on Sunday.
Right.
I bet on it.
And that's a problem. He's the best player on your team, the best player on your defense,
yep.
The guy that you hope is going to take away somebody, whoever you choose to say, I'm going to take him away. If you play it that way, he takes somebody out of the game. Also, he has a knack for making plays. So for a team that doesn't score a ton of points, I don't rule out him having a couple pick sixes over the course of the season if he's playing at a high level. That's a lot to remove from a. He's one of the few certainties on a team that feels like it doesn't have very many certainties right now, right?
Yeah.
And to lose that is problematic. Also, quick question for Fitzy while he was regurgitating Stephon Diggs' stats. Did you say 6 for 33?
Yeah.
As in like 5 yards a catch?
5.5 yards, but would you take two touchdowns?
I would, but I don't know if him catching 6 for 33 on this roster is going to get them two touchdowns.
Well,
I'm not sure I can make those
but
work.
But still, I mean, that's okay. You don't get the same yardage. Obviously, you're not getting the same yak. You're not getting, 10, 12 yards per catch. The YPC is different, but I'll take two touchdowns anytime.
Oh, sure. I just don't know how they're getting in for the 5 yard
touchdowns. I don't know how they're getting there either way. Maybe it's Ted's guy, Travion. Maybe it's good old Hunter Henry. I don't know, but all I know.
It's not like it's Bill Belichick's defense.
No, but we're not talking.
Side.
We're not talking. No, the Raiders' defense is fine, although it might be great depending on how their pass rush handles the Patriots' rookie left side of the offensive line. I just think we have been anticipating Steph Diggs being a non-factor Sunday. Like, we keep wondering if he's going to be out there. Mike Vrabel has told us he's going to be out there. If the guy's healthy and the guy's out there, I'm expecting him to be in the 5 to 6 catch for 50, 60 yards, couple first downs. Like,
what gives you that confidence, though?
Gut. I'm just going. I'm honestly
blind faith.
The fact that he looks good, the fact that he hasn't been overused in the preseason, and the fact that the guy knows how to get open.
Definitely hasn't been overused.
That's for damn sure. But who's the guy on the Raiders defense that you're like, well, this guy's going to be the eraser of Steph Diggs? Like, when we had Gonzo, it was Gonzo's going to take somebody out. Now it's, hey, Carlton, can you keep up with Myers or Bowers? It's a different scenario altogether.
Yeah, I mean, Max Crosby is the guy that's going to potentially erase everything.
Correct.
Because if Drake May is lying on his back with the ball tucked like this, looking up at the sky in Foxborough, that took Steph Diggs out of the play.
Are you flipping Max Crosby from the right side to the left side to test Will Campbell?
Yes, I'm doing the Ted Johnson, not Fred Johnson, that's his cousin, different guy, the Ted Johnson feast approach.
Yep.
If I have a great player, I'm not going to put that great player like 12 yards away from Will Campbell and Jared Wilson, right? Like, I'm going to take advantage of that opportunity. I don't care. Max Crosby, I know you like the left side. You prefer the, you know what you should prefer? The opportunity to maybe go have like a historic game with like 5 sacks or something against some poor rookie left tackle.
And that's not to say Malcolm Kuntz can't have fun with Morgan Moses either. We haven't seen much with him this season.
Oh, I have no confidence in Morgan Moses.
In the, what the Raiders would do, just say Max Crosby, and we should probably look this up. Has he ever played snaps on the right side? Maybe he has. Maybe he hasn't.
I believe he has, but just predominantly as left.
And most guys have a preferred side. There's other things you can do, though, to put pressure on the two rookies on the right side if you decide to keep Max Crosby on the left. I'm expecting a lot of overload blitzes where it feels like for that left side of the offensive line, we're anticipating two rookies starting at left tackle and left guard for the Patriots. That the Raiders will do a lot of what they call overload blitzing, where it just you overwhelm those two players with four guys, and then one of them backs out last second, and they're late getting to their block. So the Raiders are going to test that side of the line all day long, even if Max Crosby isn't the one on that side.
And probably screw with it, honestly. Probably big brother it. There'll probably be times where they line up in what looks like an overload blitz, and then they're actually coming off the backside or something.
Exactly.
And all of a sudden, Will Campbell is just standing there like, oh, nobody came. What am I supposed to do?
That's what I would
do. But there's six guys over here coming at
him. If I were the Raiders, is a lot of complex blitzing.
And that goes in with Drake May, too. You're not sure he knows all his protections on point under Josh McDaniels either, right?
That's right. And can I make one point about Christian Gonzalez?
Always.
So why is him not being out there impact the defense like it does? It's more than just the fact that he can maybe take away their best receiver. It's also limits what you can do from a defensive standpoint as far as blitzing. You can blitz more if you feel like you got a corner back there that isn't going to slip and fall and get beat deep and get burned because you're blitzing. And I think the Patriots want to blitz to get some pass rush. I think you get more one-on-one blocks for Milton Williams and Christian Barmore when you blitz. If you blitz, then you can't double team guys. So that not being able to blitz maybe is going to be a concern, and you can't as much, at least you shouldn't, when you don't have your best cornerback out there.
You also don't have, and I don't know how much this will or won't not play in the game, but, I mean, you have Woodson at safety, who's a rookie, and you have, Jalen Hawkins, who's...
Sixth-year journeyman.
Journeyman. That's another factor to layer in there. So you're without your best corner, and you got some questions at safety in a new duo.
I think that's part of what has got me a little scared about the Patriots to start the season is... I thought safety was one of their best positions.
Me too.
I mean, literally 3 weeks ago, I thought, man, they got depth. And you know what? I really like how Del Pettis is coming along and Jalen Hawkins is coming along. These are guys that were fringe players that look like they're starting to get it. Oh, to compliment the two guys the veterans that you have in Duggar and Jabril Peppers. So the fact that it looks like a completely different unit is – it's just throwing me off, man. It is. It's just weird to think that was one of the best units at least 2 weeks ago, and now it's one of their weaknesses.
I don't think there's a position group on the field other than the secondary that had a worse camp in terms of expectation, looking at the depth when you came in versus where both your cornerback room and your safety room is right now. The offensive line, you knew it was going to be a little bit of a work in progress. From where the comfort you had at the beginning of camp to now, I'm not sure.
And that's why I look at the Patriots defense and I go – to me, it was going to be like an above-average defense, maybe a top 12 defense. People think there's our top 5, top 10. You know what? Not with this secondary. I mean, maybe you can make an argument for it be a top 10 defense if all those guys that were released were still on the team and if Christian Gonzalez was healthy.
I could also make an argument that this is one of the worst possible matchups for a team with a question.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
questionable secondary and specifically young, inexperienced safety play going up against
Brock Bowers, yeah.
Best tight end in football or pass catcher. Their best receiver is an underneath slash middle of the field Jacoby Myers. And oh, by the way, they added what people think is the best rookie running back to enter the NFL in a while now, who's going to make his money underneath, run after catch, middle of the field. Oh, I'm sure it'll be fine. Woodson's, they call Woodson the eraser. He'll erase. It's a very big eraser. He erases everything.
It's Revis Island and the Woodson eraser. You know, yeah. the same thing that we talk about. Okay, we got one more three-point stance. It is 3:19. Ted, from 1 to 10, how passionate are you about your three-point stance today?
It's, you know, probably like a 5.
Okay, I think that's good enough to squeeze in here during our segment right here. I'll give you 60 seconds for your three-point stance. Go right ahead.
All right, here we go. I have never seen Bill Belichick more exposed or more vulnerable than he is right now after that 48-14 beatdown at the hands of TCU the other night. Listen to head coach of the Patriots, Mike Vrabel, on the Hillman Morning Show yesterday. He was asked about what he thought about that game that Bill Belichick coached in against TCU. This was what he had to say.
I don't know. Urban Meyer won 12 of his first 12 games in Ohio State, so it didn't take him long. That's my experience in college football.
All right. I mean, that's a shot. I mean, that's a shot. Wow. You know, what's Bill's, you know, excuse? Urban Meyer, he won the first 12 games they ever coached in. It feels like it's open season on Bill Belichick more than I've ever seen. I'm looking at, you look at some of the articles that are out there right now. The Athletic, this is one of the headlines for the articles. What Bill Belichick is left with now that the circus has left town, air is out of the balloons. Bill Belichick was not ready for that college life. That's in the Ringer. On CBS Sports, inside Bill Belichick's North Carolina debut, the rise, the fall, the party that became a funeral. And then last on Yahoo Sports, where does Bill Belichick's first game at UNC rank among the most embarrassing sports debuts? I've never seen the commentary this severe and this critical of Bill Belichick than it is right now. And if it's just, it's amazing to me that he would expose his, you get the sense that it's really arrogance and ego and hubris that is why he's there. And it's money too. I mean, he makes a lot of money. He likes to make a lot of money, but his ego is so big. I can't believe he miscalculated his impact on that school and that program, because it looks like he's in way over his head. And right now, the gloves are off, and people are being more critical than they've ever been.
Boy, that's a 5 out of 10. I don't want to see a 10 out of 10.
There was no doubt that was a little bit of a shot. Now, I do think part of it was fluffing up Ohio State and their championship and their coach, because Vrabel's a Buckeye guy. Mm-hmm. But he's not afraid to take shots at Bill. He did it when he was coaching against him. I think he respects Bill for what he did for him as a player and his accomplishments as a coach. But he does not, what do they call it, deify Bill. He doesn't treat him like he's a guy.
No, he never has.
He's going to tell you what he
got
thinks.
Traded.
And that's part of it. But he's going to tell you what he thinks. And Urban Meyer, a little different scenario. If I really wanted to break this down and defend Bill a little bit, I mean, Urban Meyer had already run 4 college programs by that time, had won a national title, had done everything in Florida. So it's a little different, but that's what North Carolina was buying.
Belichick has won 6 Super Bowls.
And has he told
I heard.
You? Because he actually tells you it's 8. He counts the 2 as a coordinator when Parcells was the head
coach. Excuse me, 8, yes.
It's 8. You have the boat's 8 rings plus 1 or whatever the hell it's called.
I believe he wears the rings when he goes to the NFL awards as well.
Yeah, he does.
That's
he turned over 70 players on the roster. How in the hell did anybody possibly think North Carolina was going to be anything other than a Division III school out there on national television?
I think a lot of people did. Don't tell that to the people in North Carolina.
A lot of people.
Don't tell that to LT and Air Jordan.
Because of the facade of Belichick. This is all smoke and mirrors. This is an old magician who has nothing more than the flat. We do. They don't.
Well, they do now.
Yeah. A
lot of people here did not see this.
They learned at 400 miles an hour straight into the planet Earth on Monday night.
He's kind of like the Wizard of Oz. Like, he's now the bumbling man behind the curtain, pulling all the levers, but it's not really working anymore.
No, and it's just...
Oz is on to him.
It's a small man behind the giant robotic facade.
It's going to put stress on the relationship. Unless it's purely love. I mean, if she really is in
for
the love.
What else would it be?
Well, then it doesn't matter if he wins or loses, right?
The way she was looking at Randy Moss in the booth on Monday night?
She did look at him with an adoring eye a little bit.
You're a Hall of Famer who's still...
Wait a minute. You're still, you know what?
You haven't embarrassed.
You're still relevant.
Yeah, you haven't ruined your reputation, right?
Yeah, you beat cancer. My husband couldn't beat TCU.
Oh, wow. Cancer jokes?
He did. That's not a cancer joke. It's about Belichick.
617-779-7937. We're still reacting to Bill Belichick's debut. It didn't go very well, although, Ted, I will say one other time I saw him look a little bit more vulnerable. And that was when he stepped out of a home on a Ring camera with no shirt on. He looked pretty vulnerable in that moment. That was a private moment. We weren't supposed
to see. The Ring video is not even close to being as bad as what happened Monday night. Not even close.
It was the Cracker Barrel rebrand of football coaching debuts.
Both pretty bad.
That was No. Not when all those people were down there. He's taking all those pictures before the game. And then that happens. No. That's way worse than the Ring video.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Each week, I'll take you on a dark journey through terrifying true urban legends, bizarre true crime cases, chilling tales of backwoods horror, and more. So if you're looking to join a passionate community of the darkly curious, check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, stay curious.